Good morning. You have just tuned in to the Sunday School Teacher, which is an outreach ministry of Applying the Word Ministries of LaGrange, Georgia. To find out more about us, you may visit us at www.applyingtheword-ga.org or just simply write us at P.O. Box 1075, LaGrange, Georgia, 30241. I am co-pastor Pat McFarland, and I will be your teacher for the day. I have been mandated by God to teach you the Word. This program will review, first of all, your Sunday school lesson. We hope to encourage you to attend and participate in your Sunday school class. We also want you to fall in love with the Word of God. Finally, it is our desire that someone would dedicate their life to Jesus Christ, glory to God, and make Jesus their choice. Now, I need you to get your Bible and get ready. It is now time for Sunday school. Good morning. It's time for our Sunday school lesson. That's right. It is time for our Sunday school lesson. Yes, we'll be in the Old Testament and we will be talking about Deborah. What's the title of our lesson?
Amen. The title of our lesson this morning is Deborah, the Dutiful Judge.
Notice what he just said. The dutiful judge, the conscientious judge, the judge that's willing to do what God has called her to do. But let me tell you something else about Deborah. Deborah was a prophetess as well. That's right. She was a prophetess. She was the fourth judge, glory to God. And then you're going to find that she was also a wife. She was obedient to God. That's why they call her the dutiful prophet. Glory to God. So we're going to get into our lesson today, and we're going to learn more about how God used Deborah.
Amen. Our lesson is going to be coming from Judges 4:4-10, and 14:21-22. Glory to God. Amen. Yeah, we're talking about Deborah this morning. And looking at our first part of our lesson, it's Deborah's plan. Deborah's plan. And it's going to, we're going to look, start at verse 4. And Deborah's plan is the setting. And Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. Amen. Now right here, the plan is just point out Deborah was a judge. And she was a wife, but yet she ruled, she judged Israel at the time we're looking into.
And you know that there were other judges. There were many judges after Joshua. That's how Israel was ruled by judges, and she was the fourth judge, as I said earlier. So we're going to understand that this is what God has what outlined. Yes, she was a woman, glory to God, but God was what was using her, and we need to listen to what God did through her. Go ahead.
Amen. In that fifth verse, we're looking at the setting. And she dwell under the palm tree of Deborah between Balaam.
Okay.
At the
Bethel.
At the mount of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment.
Now notice, the children of Israel came up to her for what? For what she had to say, what God had to say through her. So in other words, they respected her, they accepted her, and they listened to her, and they followed what she had to say. Glory to God. So go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. But again, we're talking about the setting here. That they went to her.
Yes.
They and basically we're pointing out where she was. It said she dwelled under the palm tree. It didn't say what it talked about a city. It didn't talk about
Bethel. It talked about Bethel.
Yeah, Bethel. But mainly it gave you a location. But yes, she was on a tree.
Okay. In other words, it appeared to be her office, her location. So when they needed to meet with her, that was her location, glory to God. She didn't bring her business in her home, but she sat there under the tree, glory to God, where they all knew where they could find her when they needed her, glory to God.
Amen, praise God. And they went, and as we pointed out, she carried on different roles. She was a prophetess, amen, glory to God. She was a judge. And she was also the protector because she gave them wisdom how to live. And not only just for man, but yet by God, she protected them through her wisdom.
Don't forget to include that she was also a wife. Glory to God. She was a wife submitted to what? To her husband. Glory to God. So he understood her role. Glory to God. So here the lesson is focused on her. But I wanted to include this, that it's important that you realize that God can use whosoever he wills, glory to God. And he places them in a position where they can what minister to the people of his people, the people of God. Glory to God. Go ahead.
Amen. And basically, we're going to be looking at part B, which is going to be her task, glory to God. Her task, what she had to do, glory to God. In verse 6, it says, and she sent and call Barak, the son of Abram, in out of Kehosheba, and said unto him, have not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw toward Mount Tubal, and take with thee 10,000 of the children, 10,000 of Capita, and of the children of Zebulun.
Now notice what she said. Have not the Lord commanded you? Glory to God. In other words, being a prophetess, hallelujah, God had already told her that he had informed Barak, that he needed to go and fight. He needed to go and deal with some situations. But he was not obedient. He did not move. So she summoned him and she informed him, have not God told you? In other words, so at that point, when she said that to him, he knew it was quickened in his spirit that she had to be of God because God told him what to do, but he was what? He was afraid. He didn't do it. Glory to God. See, sometimes when people get a word from God, hallelujah, this was a word for him to go and conquer. This was a word for him to go and fight, but he was fearful. Let me tell you why he was fearful. Because what happened, the enemy had iron chariots. Glory to God. And his men didn't have iron chariots. Glory to God. So that they rode around and they were powerful. Glory to God. And they had a reputation. So he probably was a little bit fearful. But the prophet, glory to God, had to instruct him that he received the words from God. And when God give you a word, you move out of fear. And you're moving what in faith, glory to God. Go ahead, Pastor. Glory
amen. Pray, God. And just like you said, she was giving him instructions on how he was to protect, Israel, amen, from the coming of the.
They were Canaanites. They were really Canaanites. Yeah. That's what they were. They were Canaanites, so he had to protect them because the enemy was coming to what? To overthrow them. The enemy was coming to conquer them. So he was getting instructions, but the fear, listen to that too, but the fear, you know, perfect love, the perfect love of God casted out all fear, glory to God. But he was fearful, so she had to call him, glory to God, and repeat to him what God told him. Have not God told you? Glory to God. Go ahead, Pastor.
Amen. And verse 7, we're still pointing out the setting here. It said, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Syria, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him unto thine hand. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah. In other words, you need to understand that God said, when she said, I will, as God said, I will deliver him in your hands. He may have mighty chariots. He may appear to be powerful, but Jabin will be defeated because God will fight your battles. Glory to God. See, if God tell you to do something, don't think you're doing it by yourself. If God said for you to do something, if God said for you to move, then you move. Glory to God. So it was no reason for Barak to be afraid. He needed to do what God said, draw his troops together and begin the march. Hallelujah. And go to Jabin, glory to God, and meet those Canaanites and deal with them, glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Now, again, we'll have to look at where she wore the hats now. She was given a prophetic word from God that hey, he going to be delivered in your hand. Well, now, I'm going to give a little bit of background that help you understand why Barak may have been a little hesitant. They said that he had over 900 chariots.
Well,
900. Now chariots, hey, these are people on a chariot with wheels and horses, and she said 10,000 men on feet, on foot. Now guess what? Now we don't know what they might have had on the side of these chariot wheels. I'm just trying to put you in the scene.
They say it was like a modern day tank when you think about it. In other words, they were covered, they were protected, and they were fighting from the chariot, glory to God. So they would have to go up to the chariot and try to fight the men on the chariot, and they had it was iron, it was what protecting them, glory to God. So that was a fear. In other words, they put fear throughout the land because Jabin and his men, 900 men, they had chariots. Nobody else had chariots, glory to God. And Barak knew, the glory of God, that these were mighty warriors. He had heard about it, glory to God. And he said, now God telling him to go and fight, glory to God. So he was what? Reluctant. He was fearful. He was not ready to move. But when God tell you to move, you don't have to fear. What do I have to fear if God is telling me to move? If God's telling you to do something, glory to God, he is going to be with you. If God is telling you to fight, God is going to fight for you. That's all you being is obedient to God. Go ahead.
Again, I want to paint this scene because just reading in the background, of what he was up against with these 900 chariots, they was up against horses that was going to be in front of the man on the chariot. They were going to. I've seen movies where they used to have swords on the wheels. Now we on these are men on foot, and they got to run it through the horses and all this right. He was hesitant at that point. You saying you're gonna deliver them to my hand, in my hand, but she wasn't saying she was gonna do it. But at the same time, she was pointing out, hey, the prophecy. Let's look at part C, amen, which is the prophecy. It said, and Barak said unto her, if thou will go with me, then I will go. But if thou will not go with me, then I will not go.
Now, you see where he messed up at? But he was saying, he said, if you go with me, he's telling the prophetess, he's telling her, he said, unless you go with me, I'll go. And if you don't go with me, I won't go. Who was he looking to protect him? He was looking for her to protect him because he figured about her being a prophet of God. God was not going to let nothing happen to him. What he missed was that God was going to protect him and his men. He was sending him to battle, not to lose, but to win. But she what? She's listening to him, glory to God. And she's going to be submissive. Go ahead.
Well, again, let's not move too fast on this right here. This is something we had to understand. When a word from God, you listen to the word and not who the word come from. She said, if you go with me, she done already told him who's going to be with him.
God.
She said God was going to deliver him in your hand. Not me. You got to take your eyes off sometime the messenger and look at the message.
But see, Pastor, what was going on there, it showed right at that point that he did not have full faith in the message from God.
That's right.
He was dependent upon her to be with him. He said, if you come with me, I'll go. But if you don't come with me, I'm not going to go. So who was he dependent on? He wasn't dependent upon God. He was dependent upon the prophetess who revealed the word to him that God had given to her, and the same word he had received from God. So if God tell you to do something, glory to God, you don't need to have it validated by having a person with you. You need to move on what on the word of God. So here he's saying, if you go with me, glory to God. See, if you go with me, I'll go. Glory to God. But if you don't go with me, I will not go. In other words, I won't be obedient. If you don't go with me, I'm not gonna follow the instruction. Because what he's not saying to us is that he was fearful of the report of the enemy. He was fearful of Jabin and his army. He was fearful of the 900 horsemen on the chariots. He was fearful to go to battle with them.
Amen. Fearful. He was fearful of the unseen. But yet, guess what? He didn't realize, he wasn't putting faith in also the unseen, and which that is faith in God. Amen. Glory to God. Now let's look at verse 9. We're still dealing with this prophecy now. It said, and she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou taketh shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall send Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kisha.
Now what God is saying here, what Deborah the prophet is saying to him, the prophet of God, she's saying, okay, yeah, I'll go with you. She said, but you could have had the victory. You could have had the honor, glory to God, of winning this battle, glory to God. But you're not going to have the honor, but God is going to place it in the hand of what? A woman, glory to God. A woman is going to get credit for winning the battle because you showed fear. You didn't show faith. You showed fear. So yes, I'll go with you, glory to God. But you will not have the honor of winning the battle.
Amen. Let's hold that right there. Let's not move that too fast.
Okay.
You see, you have to understand, when God points out something to you, don't try to put it off on somebody else. In other words, if you're telling the truth, if it's God talking through you, yeah, but God speaks through it, but God had a word for him. She was simply a mouthpiece, but he allowed her, he wanted to put the honor on her. And in that time, that affected the men, because you telling her, you're going to let a woman start leading us. That fell back, but
now,
guess
Pastor,
what?
Pastor, she wasn't leading them. Mm-hmm. Barak was leading them, but her job was to be with them. He felt the protection of God if she was right there with him. So he was still going to be leading, but he was not going to have the power of the victory, glory to God. And Deborah just let him know. And we'll see later on in the lesson who's going to receive the power of the victory.
Amen, amen. And in verse 10, it says, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kislam. And he went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went with him.
So now he's doing what God said to do, to go and what and battle. But what he did, he added a part. He wanted Deborah to be there with him. So he got the soldiers that he needed. And now he's getting ready to go to battle. Listen, a lot of times we wanna change the way God wants to do things. No. We gotta do it his way. Glory to God. So he made a little change there. He brought Deborah. That was a little change there. Glory to God. So here we find that now he's gonna get the soldiers, and now he's getting ready to move. But he still was not moving in full obedience. Go ahead.
Amen. Praise God. Now part D is the action. The action that's being taken. On the saints, right here is the action. Verse 14, and Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera unto thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from the mount Tibla, and 10,000 men after him. Oh, glory. The action taking place.
And Sisera, he says he's delivered Sisera in your hand. This is the day, Lord God. This is the day that the battle will be won. This is the day that God will give you the victory, Lord God. This is the day that we will see what God has already told you to do, Lord God. This is the day, Lord God. So you need to understand that God is still there in the picture, Lord God. But what, again, there was not full obedience. Lord, I always remember this. There was not full obedience. And because there was not full obedience, we're saying that what? The victory of the battle will be given to someone else. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Again, Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day.
This is the day.
This is the day that the Lord delivered it. But then later on, so Barak went down from the mount, Tabla, and 10,000 men after him.
Let me fill in the blanks. This part is not in the lesson. But when they went down, Lord God, there were the men on the chariots. There were the 900 men, 900 chariots right there, Lord God. And here they were walking. But you know what God did? God caused the rain to come, Lord God. And the mighty chariots was all stuck up in the mud, Lord God. They couldn't move freely. They were stuck up in the mud, Lord God. And here we find that they couldn't move, so it was easy for the men to come down. And slaughter them, Lord God. It was easy for them to come down and slaughter those soldiers. But let me tell you what Jabin did. Jabin started running for his life. He ran for his life because he saw that they couldn't win. Here, the rain. Think about this: the chariots on wheels, the mighty heavy chariots. The rain, the mud had them stuck. They couldn't move. And here, all of these people are coming down from the mountain, coming down to fight. And here they're so busy trying to get the chariots to move. Here they get so busy trying to run. Here they're so busy trying to do what they needed to do. And the king, the mighty king Jabin took a hike. He took a run. He began to run for his life.
Amen. Now, again, my wife moving, but I got to paint this picture where you see it. The chariots' danger was when they was on the move. When you had to run up against a horse, and then the chariot wheels turning. Because we don't know what we don't they didn't expect what was on those wheels, but it was spears, swords, and knives, but yet they were stuck. They were standing still. They were vulnerable. The only thing 10,000 men had to do then just run up there and just cut, stab the man that was on the chariot. The chariot was standing still. Like, come get me.
The chair was a protection for them.
But
God went before them. And he caused the rain. Just like I said, he caused the rain. And the chariots couldn't move. They were stuck in the mud. They could not move. The men were so busy trying to get the chariots to move, trying to get the horses to move. They were not trying to handle their weapons, Lord God. And here the soldiers came down. They were distracted. They were confused. You see, but God had what put a spirit of confusion over them because they were trying to get away, Lord God. They were trying to move. They were trying to fight. They didn't know what to do. And here come the soldiers, Lord God. Here come the soldiers. And they are defeated. But Jabin, the king, the leader, escapes.
Amen. Now let's look at verse 21. And basically, we're gonna go through this slowly. So they just grasp what's going on. Then Jael Harbert's wife, she took a nail of the tent. A nail. She took a nail of the tent.
Wait, pause right there. Pause right there. Let me get you to that. When Jabin ran away, he wound up going to a tent. And the lady's name is Jael. And she's standing there and he goes to the tent, and then she's talking to him real nice, and she tells him, Lord God, she said, well, you can come on in. He said, well, don't let anybody know that I'm in here. And then he told her he was thirsty. So she brought him some milk, instead of giving him water, he had asked for water, but she brought him some milk, and she made him comfortable. She even told him to lay down, and he laid down, and she covered him with a blanket. Glory to God. Now, Jael, the wife, glory to God, was a skilled tent maker, and she had tools, glory to God, that she could use to make tents. But here, she's being very, very nice to him, glory to God. But remember what we said. God was going to give the victory to a woman.
Go Amen. Ahead. All right. And then slowly, as she doesn't, she's a tent. She got a nail from the, that you make a tent with, and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him
while he was sleeping.
Got a nail and a hammer, and she went softly to him and smote the nail into his temple.
In other words, what she did, she killed him. Glory to God. Now, Jabin was the what? Jabin was the what? The leader. But Jabin had escaped. But usually when you defeat the leader, you are given credit for what? For the victory. Go ahead.
Amen. And his temple, and fastened it into the ground. Oh, my God. A nail that you drive a tent down, that's pretty long, and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. She drove his head into the ground with a long, big, long nail.
And finally, glory to God, and finally, you're going to find out that when they came, because they were looking for Jabin, glory to God, they knew he had escaped, and when they got to the place, to the tent, glory to God, she said, she told him to come in and showed Barak where he was. He was dead. The victory of the battle was accredited to Jael. And if you read further on in the lesson, it's no longer in the lesson, but as you read further on, you're going to find out that there's going to be a song, that Deborah and them are going to sing a song about it, glory to God. That the Lord used this woman, glory to God, to what? To get the victory. Because Barak, they could have been singing about Barak, but Barak was fearful, and he wanted Deborah to go with him, glory to God. And here was this woman by herself, glory to God, in her tent, glory to God. And she allows him to go in the tent. And when they came looking, she said, I know who you're looking for. this is, come on in. And she shows him where he's laying dead. The victory for the battle was given to Jael.
Amen, praise God. And again, the B part of prophecy fulfilled. Verse 22, and behold, as Barak pursued Sarah, Jabin came out to meet him and said unto him, come, and I will show you thee the man whom thou seekest. She come out and showed him that the prophecy had been fulfilled.
So Syria, he was dead. It was fulfilled. Just like, and see, believe God. Trust God. If God gives you instructions to do something and you know that that's a word from God, know that he will be with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. And what happened to Barak, he was fearful. Now, he could have had the honor of winning the battle. But guess what? Jael got the honor for winning because he was not being obedient to God. He needed Deborah the prophetess to be with him.
Hello, this is Pastor Arthur J. McFarland saying, I know you have enjoyed that word coming from co-pastor Patricia McFarland. We are asking you to be a partner in this ministry to help us get the word out to our hurting world. We need your financial support. You can contact us by writing to Applying the Word Ministries, P.O. Box 1075, LaGrange, Georgia, 30241. You can also reach us at our website at www.applyingtheword-ga.org. Or you can email the Sunday School Teacher at sundayschoolteacher111@gmail.com. Until next time, may God bless you. and may God keep you.